We just finished the Mishnah, the lengthy Mishnah, that Mem Chesem Aleph to Mem Chesem Beis. Mishnah described the entire process of Nisach HaMayim, from the collection of the water from the Mei Shiluach into these golden flasks. We got to the Shar HaMayim, which was named for this reason. They would walk the Nisach HaMayim through this gate to get into the Beis HaMikdash area, into the Azara. And it says the Mishnah, they would blow shofar tiku v'harbiyu v'tiku. They blow shofar. Says the Gemara right now the following question. From where do we get these words that there will be a shofar blast related to the Nisuch HaMayim? What was that based off of? So Amar Rav Ina, the Amakra, Usha'av Temayim B'Sason. He's supposed to draw the water with Sason. Sason implies rejoicing. The way that we rejoice is we blow shofar. Tkia, Trua, Tkia. It shows an excitement. It shows we're focused on it. And therefore, from this pasuk is the source that the Nisuch HaMayim, the process, should have in it a level of fanfare and awe. And we want to make sure that we have the sason, the rejoicing, which usually connotates this level of trumpet blast. Oh,
so when you say trumpet blast, is that to give excitement or
it's to give sason, to give rejoicing. Usha'av to mayim, draw the water with rejoicing. Right, so that, right, it's true. That's also crying, and that's the level of awe as well. But the assumption right now is that the blowing of the shofar would be a level of, like, for example, we'll see very soon when I'll describe a little more detail of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There'll be shofar blasts that are blown when they did certain things, they went certain places. So shofar blasts seem to have a level of rejoicing involved, even though we certainly, and when we even think about shofar today, we definitely think of fear or trepidation and awe, like you mentioned, the crying. The Gemara has a very famous Agadita. Hanehu trei minei chad shmei sasam v'chad shmei simcha. There were these two apikorsim, these two heretics. And one of them, their name was Sason, the other one's name was Simcha. The parents named them Sason and Simcha. Okay? Anyways, the Gemara describes that they had a conversation. Amle Sason l'simcha. Sason says to Simcha, ana adifa minach. I'm better than you are. I'm more appreciated. Again, I don't know why they're talking about Tanakh here, but they seem to be focusing on Tanakh to prove who's greater. I'm greater than you are. The Ksiv, it says, Sason de Simcha Yasigum. You notice my name Sason is found before your name Simcha in the Pasuk Sason de Simcha Yasigum. Must be, I'm preferred. I'm better. I'm a Simcha Sason. Listen, you know Tanakh, but I also know Tanakh. I'm better than you. The Ksiv Simcha de Sason la Yehudim. It says Simcha before Sason. So you think you're better than me, but I have a pasuk that backs me up that I come before you. I'm like, Sasa Simcha, Sasa is back to Simcha. Well, Chad Yoma, one day, Shavkuch, Vishaviuch, Parvanka. One day, they're going to leave you, meaning you'll be cast aside, and they're going to turn you, Shavucha, like Shaveh, equal, they're going to turn you into Parvanka, which Rashi explains over here, like a runner. You'll be running in front of the rest of the tzibur, telling them which way to go and how to watch out for which roads, etc. You're going to be like a slave one day. Because it says, after all, it says, they're going to go out with Simcha at the front. He'll lead the way. He'll show everyone which way to go. You'll be like the tour guide, the runner for the rest of the tzibur. Says, back now. Simcha nesasar. My Simcha nesasar. Well, chad yomo, one day, shavkuch umalu b'cha mayim. One day they're gonna leave you. They're going to throw you away. And they're going to use you as a vessel to fill up water with. They're going to use sason to fill up water. So you have these two heretics battling it out, quoting sources from Tanakh, which is impressive itself, as to which one is better and which one day will be cast aside and used in various degrading ways. On that last pasuk, this heretic says to Rabbi Avo, his name was Sason. Asidisu de tamlili mayim le alma de asi. In the future, Asidisu, in the future, they're going to fill for me water in alma de asi, olam haba, meaning I'm going to be like the man. People are going to come and they're going to bring me water in the future. Because it says, Ushafte mayim b'sason, that in the future, there's going to be a drawing of water b'sason. And therefore, it says sason, the heretic, to Rabbi Avo, you see, one day I'm going to be the a person who is served in the Alma Dasi with water. So Amar Rebbe says back to him, Ihavuksiv Lissason. So Kidakamart. If would have said, Usha'avtemayim lisason. They would fill water up for the purpose of sason. And that's what you said. And you're right. You would have been looked upon as a future person who was given water, who was respected in that fashion. But ahasha now, diksiv bisason, it says with sason they're going to fill water. What does that mean? Mashke dehu gavr mashvinu leguda. The mashke, the skin of that man, meaning of you, Mr. Sason, is going to be turned into mashvinale. We're going to turn you into a guda, a little flask, a pitcher of water. Malidin Beimayim, we're going to fill you with water. We're not going to fill water for you. We're actually going to use your skin to be a flask, a pitcher for people to drink water from. So he kind of turned around the pasuk, what he thought was this rewarding pasuk, looking at him as if he's a head honcho, he's a main guy. In the end, we're going to look at him as if he's going to be a mere vessel for us to drink from. Okay. The Mishnah, back again, Amem Chesem Aleph, when I was in discussion, that they would get to the ramp, and they would turn to the left. They would turn to the left, which again they entered on the south. The ramp was in the south part of the mizbeach of the whole entire Beit Hamikdash area. So they would go up to the south area, take a left, which makes it the southwest area. So over here it says the Gemara as follows: Alav Kevish Upana Lusmolo, Tan Rabbanan, Kol Olam Limizbeach, Kol Olam Limizbeach Olin Derech Yamin. Normally, whoever went up to the Mizbeach would go up to the right side, which means they would go up towards the east. They would go up and take a right to the east. Umakifin, and they would then, after doing their avodah, they would then around, they would circumvent, they would circle the Mizbeach, and they would go, Yordan Derech Smol, they would go down the left part now. Chutz, again, they would go up, they would walk, take a right, and they would go, they would do their avodah, and they would go all the way around. They came back through the ramp, and they'll go down the southwestern part, the western part, the southwest part of the ramp. Picture or no picture? I'm with bees.
There's no picture for that, but there is pictures of
the base of Ethan
right at the end of all the pictures.
Let's see that one.
Picture we used
last time as well. South. Here's south. Here's a kevish. Okay, it's over here. If you look, yeah, if you look at like right where the binding is, at least in ours, he says on Os Lamed Gimel, the Shahar Mayim, top of the page, a little to the right of the binding. A little to the right of the binding. It says Shahar Mayim. See what it is over there? Right there. Shahar Mayim. That's where they walk through. That's where they walk through with the water in their hands, blowing the shofar. They get now to the kevesh, which is the ramp right in front of it. That ramp right there by the mizbeach. And they would go up the ramp. Normally they would turn to the right, and they would do avodas over there. But here they would turn to the left. We get up there, and they would turn to the left. On that southwestern corner, they would then do the avoda. You actually see little... Where you see there? Yeah, in that area. But if you look before, like closer to the edge, is like a purple like corner there with two black circles. At least in mine, it's like that. What do you have there?
Which page?
We have a little different picture, I think. But I'm looking at this page over here.
Yeah.
In mine, it's a purple like mark in the corner with two black circles next to it. You see, you have something there also. I don't know what you have there, but something like that.
Peach color.
Yeah, peach color, right there. See that corner there? It's color, and there's two circles there. So what's going on over there in that area? So that is our sugya. That's the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. And on that corner, there were two circles. And those circles were receptacles that in those circles had holes in them. And when you pour, we'll see in a minute, to describe what happened. Normally, you would take a right when you got the Mizbeach. Take a right, and you go around, you do whatever you had to do, and you walk all the way around the entire Mizbeach, eventually going down the ramp. You go, yes, again, I'll just use my picture over here. You would go up the Mizbeach normally, take a right, do whatever voda you had to do, wherever it was, then walk around and go down again this way. But for this, we'll see right now, three exceptions. You would go up the ramp, take a left, do your avoda there, and then come back down again. You wouldn't go around. You would turn around and go back down again, which are two unusual things. Number one, usually you never followed the way you went. Usually you went the other way. You didn't go backwards. And also usually went to the right. Here, you go to the left and you go backwards again. Look at the Gemara, and we'll discuss that right now. A better picture than that one?
No.
This one also had the Sharim on it. This one also has the Sharim. No? I only have one page.
Oh, really?
Mine's an old version, I think. But it has the Sharim also over here.
Shah Teddy, no. Who's that? I promise you.
What?
Teddy College?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, hey. The page before.
I don't have a page before. Only this page over here. Where is that guy?
Shah Teddy.
What's that? The north? The north.
Teddy?
Yeah, where is that? I don't. Where am I missing? I'm missing my Shah Teddy. I don't know where mine even is. I'm gonna ignore that. Okay, anyways, back to our sugya over here. Back to our sugya. Anyway, says the Gemara as follows. Says the Gemara that for every time they would go up the Mizbeach, they would usually take a right. Kol olim Mizbeach, olim derech yamim. Umakifin, they would go around, they would circle in the end, and they would go down. Derech small, they go down the ramp on the left side of the Mizbeach. Chutz mina ol el social farm, except for three exceptions. When they go up the ramp for three different things, they would take a left. Shosh Dvarim Halalu, Sha'olim Derech Smol, they would go to the left, they go up and to the left. V'chozun Al Ekev, and they would turn around and go back the way they came from. They retrace their steps the same way they came from. V'elin, and these are the three things. Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, V'ola Sa'of, K'sharibsa B'mizrach. The Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, and when they would give the Korban Ola, that was the Of, when there were a lot of animals that were already being brought on the eastern side, which is on the right side, they would go instead take a left and offer it there.
What was that for?
So what was the reason for? The Ola Sa'of?
Chatas, isn't it?
Yeah, could be, again, the Korban Ola. Korban Ola for the Of. So now there were three reasons over here. Why was it the case? Why did they do it this way? So the reason why it was to left for these three, according to Rashi, is that if you got, again, there was a lot of things, a lot of burnings going on in the Mizbech. If you had to walk around, it's about 100 amos to circumvent, to go around the entire thing. You get a lot of smoke inhalation, not in your lungs, but in the actual either mayim or yayin or oaf. If the mayim or yayin, the Gemara brings down elsewhere, if you had too much smoke mixed up with the yayin and the mayim, it would possible the mayim or yayin. So we take a left and we do it right there instead of having to walk around the whole area and having our mayim and yayim be inundated with smoke. And regarding the olas oaf, they felt that there would be smoke inhalation for the animal, the oaf, that would die before you got to the spot. Again, if it was not so many animals there, you do on the right side right away. And therefore, if that would happen, you do on the right side right away, then you would go straight there. The smoke wouldn't bother it. But if there was too much on the right side, then the next best thing was on the left side. Right away to the left side, which was the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. You had two choices. Go all the way around to get there, or just take a hard left. If you went all the way around to get there, we were afraid that the oaf would have so much smoke inhalation, it would die before it got there. So we said, just take a left right away, on that corner, do it. That was the three exceptions, yeah.
Did the smoke go up?
It says that was the smoke they had on the actual, I think the fire, but they had constant things, I guess, that they were doing different Torahs. If you look over here, the Torahs, I think it would always went up. But I think different burnings and sacrifices, I'm not sure if it was only this one seeming tree. Yeah. The Torahs, though, no?
Yeah,
the chorus, yeah, correct.
But
correct.
Everything else was different. In each corner, there was different things being.
Correct. That's what we have in our picture in the back over here. You have the. It said over here. You have the mareches esh tamid, mareches aktores, mareches gedola. You had different things that were burning, different parts of his back. Those things, I don't think they went one pillar of smoke, as you mentioned. That the miracle was that some of them did, but I don't know if all of them did. Apparently, they would be around there, and you would get the smoke that would be around the area. And that's what these three were, the three exceptions. We're three lines into the, at least the my Gemara, in the middle size, or the widest in the page, of Daf Mem Ches Mem Beis, we have a new Gemara now, a new part of the Gemara. The Gemara mentioned that there were two receptacles that were either made out of kesef, we said beforehand, or that were made actually out of seed, out of lime, out of plaster, and they it just looked like it was kesef because it became stained. That's what Rabbi Yehuda suggested, became stained from the wine. We mentioned, though, that there was one that was a wine receptacle, one that was a water receptacle. Says the Gemara, Bishlama diyayin mashkir. I understand why wine would become darkened, would become stained, because we know red wine certainly has the habit of staining things. But demaya, the water receptacle, the water area, amay mashkir. Why would it ever become kesef looking? If it really was plaster, it was really so white, How come it ever changed from its normal white status? It should have been white forever. It's water. Water doesn't stain things. So Gemara says, yeah, but if you remember the Mishnah, which says, Kevud Amar, since the Master stated, Ira min shel mayim l'sok shel yayin. So yayin l'sok shel mayim yatsa. If you would pour, or make a mistake, and pour the water into the wine part, the wine into the water part, then we mentioned before, each one had their own spot. We said that the water one was in the west, and the wine was in the east. But let's say you made an error, you made a mistake, you poured in the wrong one. The Mishnah said that you're yotze, which means there would be times when you might accidentally pour the red wine into the water area, the water receptacle, which would then stain it. And therefore, over the course of time of many, I guess, hundreds or thousands of, or maybe more than that, of wine libations that you would use, and now those are brought, by the way, every single day, the wine libation, the water only during Sukkot, but the wine was brought all the time. And therefore, what's that?
Didn't they wash them out?
Even if they washed them out, I guess there would still be a level of staining that would happen. I don't think they washed them out right away. I don't know if they washed them out at all, actually. I don't know. But the assumption over here is going to be, even if you washed them out, it would still sit there a little bit before it went down, and it would cause a level of staining. And therefore, it says, Shalmayim Asi Lashkure, and therefore, the water receptacle would also, at some point in time, come to be stained.
Just throw it out there that Kohen are using the Zuizen. Interesting that
they would make such an error like that. Yeah, it's true. We do find often in Shas.
One the other.
I guess since it was Yotze, I guess it wasn't, meaning since you're Yotze on anyways, it wouldn't possible, but you're right. So he's correct. We oftentimes refer to Kohanim. We mentioned earlier on also, we mentioned what we have before, that the Kohanim are the ones who do something, therefore we're not as worried. Remember that was? The Arav. We said by the Arav, we don't need a Gzeira of Shema Yavir Dalad Amos, because the Kohanim, the Shamashim, whoever was involved in it, were people who knew what they were doing. And over here we find them making a simple mistake of pouring the wrong thing into the wrong spot. But I guess since you're Yotze here, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Maybe they weren't. But he's right. We usually do assume it was a level of Zerizus that would happen. Who knows by heart right now, so we can continue going. Except that I don't.
For those with smartphones.
That's right. So says the Gemara next. Says the Gemara. Okay. Umenukavim kimin beiz chotmin. Which means, I'm good if you want to use it for yours. It's menukavim kamin beitz chutzman. The two vessels, or the two receptacles, each had a hole, which equaled two holes that were like two nostrils. The Mishnah said earlier, if you remember, that the holes were different sizes. That we had a hole that was a bigger hole, and the hole that was a smaller hole. Now, putting all the viscosity issues aside, of the thickness aside, right now we're going to assume, why would you need two holes? The Mishnah says so that they all finish at the same time, that the waters and the wine get through the hole and it finishes one. So says the Gemara, Lema Masnisin Rabbi Yehudahi, V'lo Rabbanan. The word Lema almost always going to be rejected. So Mishnah over here suggests perhaps we would say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbanan. What's the connection?
Because it goes down into the...
That's not why yet. What's Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbanan? So we know the amount of water that was brought was Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda said, how much do you bring every day for Nisuch? You brought only, Nisuch HaMayim was one lug. The Rabbanan said, you brought three lugin. Therefore, the wine was three lugin. The water was only one lug. You'd have to have a bigger wine hole than water hole, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to make sure they ended at the same time. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, label that suggests the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Not the Rabbanan. Did not learn the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, belug hayim nasek kol shmona. That you would use a single lug of water for all 8 days. The Rabbanan hold, you use three lugim for 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says you lose one lug for 8 days. But one lug of water versus three lugim of mayim. So the water should have a smaller hole. The wine, a bigger hole. So at the end, three lugim and one lug end at the same time. And they spill out together as one. They're kalin b'baz achas. And therefore, we assume the Mishnah really is Rabbi Yehuda, not the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, because if we say it was the Rabbanan's opinion, the Mishnah, ki adadinidu, which means the same amount. Three lugum of water, three lugum of wine. Why would you have different size holes for these receptacles? They should be the same size. But this is a lema. And therefore, we know lemas are usually rejected, almost always are rejected. And it's not to mean it wasn't there. It could be Rabbi Yehuda, but it's not a proof it's Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever the Gemara says, let's suggest this is a fact, we're not saying it's wrong. We're just saying it's not necessarily, it's not a proof positive. It's not a given that it's a fact. Why?
They'll finish together.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're the same size. Meaning that the nisuch of mayim and yayin are both three lugan according to Rabbanan. They're the same. So I shouldn't require a bigger hole to make sure they finish at the same time. They should be able to finish at the same time because they're the same amount of liquid in each one of them. And therefore, let's suggest Rabbi Yehuda must be the author of the Mishnah who requires different size holes. Says the Gemara, not so fast. Afilu teima Rabbanan. It could even be the Rabbanan. Why would they have different size holes? Because chamra samich maya kalish. The viscosity, the liquid, the texture of wine is much thicker, and therefore it takes longer to get out. But water is much lighter. It's kalish, much lighter, it's much thinner, and therefore it would require a less of a size of a hole for it to rush out. Wine requires a bigger hole, and water requires a smaller hole. Where else have we seen the viscosity of wine in our Masechta? The viscosity of wine in our Masechta. I know you know. What daf is it on? No.
It's on the top. It's on the top.
I think it's like Vav Amud Aleph.
No.
Pretty sure.
Viscosity of the wine of the Karish of Smear?
Not that one. That's not viscosity. That's because it dried. It became a cake.
It congealed.
That's not viscosity. Where do we find the viscosity, the thickness of wine being more than water, which has a nafkamina for certain shiurim?
That's the
middle of Avon Aleph. The shear. The shear of Geffen is wine, not water. Or V is the measure of wine. What's the difference wine and water? Says Rashi, is that's a thicker thing, and wine, it's not a stretch at all. It's exactly this point.
It's a Rashi, I'll give it to you. It's a stretch.
Why is it a stretch? It's exactly, that's exactly Pshat. That's why Geffen is different than water.
Water displacement.
Yeah, but the whole point is that water displacement is different than wine displacement because of the thickness of the liquid.
Vav Aleph.
It talks about Geffen. We say Eretz Chita, right? The whole thing, what's the shear of Geffen? The Ravi is for a Nazir. Why do we care that we measure it through wine? So Rashi points out that wine, if you pour wine into a cup, in order to displace it, requires more because it can even go above the cup because of its viscosity. Okay, congealed. I hear you also. That wasn't what I had in mind. Okay, doesn't mean it's wrong. Anyways, the Gemara here says, really, even Rabbana could be the author because Chamer is Samach and Maya is Kalsh. And we'll say, besides that, Hachina Mistaber, we actually think it's more logical that Rabbi Yehuda was not the author of the Mishnah. What is Vav? What's it called? That we assume that Rabbi Yehuda probably was not the author of the Mishnah. Why not? Because Rabbi Yehuda used different terminologies to describe the thicknesses and the thin nature of these holes. The Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda's author of the Mishnah, it should have said the Mishnah, Racha v'katzer islay. Rabbi Yehuda holds by. He has the lashon. He doesn't say the word the Mishnah uses over here. He says, dak and me'uva. He says, Racha v'katzer. Now, Rashi points out Racha v'katzer also happens to be it sounds like it's a bigger gap even between the biggest Racha and the smallest katzer when you compare that to Av and Dak. But besides that, when you're describing thicknesses or thinnesses of holes, so one might say Av Dak, one might say Racha v'katzer, different ways of speaking. Rabbi Yehuda used to speak in the terminology of Av, thicker, and, Racha wider and katzer and thinner. And the Mishnah didn't say wider and thinner. It said thicker and smaller, or thicker and dak, and more narrow or thinner. Whatever it would be, it's different than Av. Av and dak is different than Kutzer and Rachav. And therefore, and we're going to prove it to you right now, after all we quoted Tanya Rebuta Omer, Shnei Savos Hayusham, there were two receptacles that were there. Echad Shalmayim and Echad Shalyayin. Here's the important part. Shalyayin Pia Rachav. Shalmayim Pia Kutzer. The wine one was wider, and the water one was thinner. It didn't say Av and Dak like our Mishnah said. Why was it Rachav and Katzer? Like our Mishnah, they should use Shnei and Kalim Vazachas. So we say Shmami. Now we've proven pretty confidently right now that we believe Rabbi Yehuda is not the author of the Mishnah. It's true Rabbi Yehuda has a different amount of wine than water, which would make sense to therefore have a bigger hole for wine than for water. But we already explained how it could be the Rabbanan anyways, because wine is thicker than water is. And we even think in the end it probably is Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yehuda, if he was off the Mishnah, would have said the words, not Av and Dak, but Rachav and Katzer. The Mishnah said Av and Dak is probably not Rabbi Yehuda in the end. Final part, then we'll stop. The Gemara says as follows: Marav Shomai. We said the western part was the water receptacle. Tan Rabbanan. Ma'isa b'stuki echa. We quoted the Mishnah beforehand. A stuki shenisa galgabi raglav. In the end, when he did nisa chamayim, he did so in a way that he didn't believe the stukim did not believe nisa chamayim, nisa chamayim, and therefore he did it. He poured it not in the basin but on his legs. Rigamu kol am esrogim, and the whole nation pelted him with esrogim to protest. V'oso ayom. While this was going on that day, when they pelted him with esrogim, I guess there were also things like rocks that were thrown in there as well. It wasn't only esrogim apparently, because Rashi went out of here. They we'll see in a minute. That day nifkuma karen mizbech. That day, the corner of the Mizbech was damaged, and Rashi went out of here because of the stones they threw. It only says Esrogim, but there also apparently were stones they threw. And therefore, this actually puzzled the Mizbech. This made the Mizbech puzzle for the time being. Nevertheless, they view bulls shall melach. They brought a bulls, a handful. Brought a handful of salt, usamu, and they basically filled up the hole. The blemish was made. They kind of filled it up with salt and made it look like it was intact. Even though it really was not intact, and even though it really was not kosher anymore. And that's what the Gemara says over here. Lo b'nei shehukshar le'avodah. It's not because now they could use it again to serve Hashem with avodah. El b'nei shelo yireh mizbech pagam. Rather, he shouldn't look. The mizbech is damaged. And Rashi says it's not covered. It's not covered mizbech to have a blemish and a dent in it. So we took some salt and we put a handful of it and we kind of smoothed over the damaged parts and made it look good again. But he still couldn't use it at that point in time. And the Gemara explains. Any mizbech did not have in it a ramp, and the keren, the corners on the mizbech, and the yisod, the very bottom 32 amma square that was there, that was the bottom layer, that was one amma by one amma, and a ribu, if it was not a proper square, any problem you had in those four areas, that would passel the mizbech lavoda. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer afa sofev, even the next layer. That was the next layer, or the third layer. That was the middle one. That was the second. That was the third one. That was the second one. Second one. What was the top one called? Where the yisod.
Yisod
sofev. And what's the next one called?
Karen, I think.
No, one before the karen. Yisod the sofev and. What was the last one called? That was by the Arava, right? When they were putting the Arava over the... When it would drape over.
Sovev.
Yisod.
Sovev Lemizbeah.
Yeah, what was the other one? One more to go. It would drape the Arava over the Mizbeach, right? Draped it over. And it would drape over an Amma down.
No, it's Dalit. Picture Dalit on Daf Nun Zion.
It doesn't say the name, though.
You sure?
It doesn't say the name of the picture. This is Mem Dalit Amud Aleph up to Mem Tet Amud Aleph.
Where was the part that it would drape over? Where was that?
Mem Hei Amud Aleph.
Mem Hei Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
So Vev, Allah Shosh Makwa Hakranot. Yeah?
Yeah, that was the thing. Yisod, Sovev, Vekranot. Kranot
are the corners, right?
Yeah. But Rashad thinks there was something in between the Sovev and the upper level. I remember Jumazu, the
Jumamina Ali, Yisod Manaplu. Yeah, okay, I'm not sure what you think it's called, though, Kranot.
That middle part, they call it three amos tall.
Yeah, but that was called a sovev, though. So that was called a sovev.
They didn't really give it a name. At least not.
Yeah, Makoa Kronot, you're right. Okay. Kronot. Makabal. Okay. So finally, the Gemara, last line over here. Yehuda says over here, Afa sovev, even the sovev, if it was messed up, the middle part was messed over, was broken, it was damaged, that too would pass the homeless back. To make a puzzle, avoda again, they'd still fix it, make it look nicer, but that would puzzle the mizbech from avoda. We'll stop over here.
Why didn't they just fix it?